From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to Referral Worthy. I am Dusty, and I am here with Mickley Jorge, who is a tech and systems automation strategist. Mickley, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's pretty late where you're at, so thank you.
Of course, I'm always happy to be wherever Dusty is.
Oh my God, you're the greatest. Okay, Mickley, tell me your origin story. I know like little bits and pieces from like hearing you and Lydia, but that's like it.
So it was 2016 where I was working at a nonprofit, but my son was just old enough to start school. And like, I wanted to send him to a really good school. And I was like, my salary at this job is not going to make enough for me to give my son the life and opportunities that I want to be able to give him. So, well, I did law school first in 2013, 14. And I was like, no, I don't like that.
See, I had no idea you went to law school.
I did. I know, because I got, if we go back even further, I got pregnant the end of my third year of college. So Fourth year college, I had a kid. And then my family, we have lawyers in the family. And they're like, well, if you want, you have a kid, you want money, go try law school. And I was like, well, I hate it, but I have a kid and I need to make money. And they're like, just give it a year. So I did. And I was like, fuck it. I gave it a year.
And the answer is still hell no.
Yeah, no. I found work in advertising, then I moved from advertising to a nonprofit. And then I was like, I need to find a way to make money. And that's how I discovered the internet. I don't know. I think it was an ad that was served to me. And I downloaded an opt-in for the first time ever. And in that box that I filled out, it said, powered by ConvertKit. What is a ConvertKit? And then I started reading ConvertKit articles. What is a Teachable? What is this? And I think I just discovered the world. And I said, okay, I can participate. Why not write a book? You know, I thought, for some reason, I thought, like, I don't know what skills I had. People say I write well. What if I wrote a book? So the book was my first ever real, like, adventure into the internet. I wrote and self-published a book. And it was on motherhood. It was, I love you. I love chicken nuggets. And it was me saying, I love you. And then my son replying with, I love chicken nuggets. Another girl saying motherhood.
Oh my God. Okay. So you and I approached this, the way we entered was actually very similar. And how fucking nuts are we that our first impulse to making money on the internet is, oh, I should write a fucking book.
That's the easy thing to do.
Right. Obviously. I know now, and I can't, I've got like four half finished ones on my hard drive right now that I can't commit to finishing. Good God. But that's so funny because mine was on motherhood too. I was fascinated with the idea of like minimalism and voluntary simplicity and how that could like make motherhood easier because I was, you know, undiagnosed ADHD.
Goodness, I have to read your book. I need to get a copy of that book. You still have it?
No. Oh, God. Buried somewhere. Oh, no. I was like 22 when I wrote it and thought I knew everything. You don't want to read it. I promise.
After that book, because like I was self-publishing the book, I learned how to create a website. I created a website on Squarespace. I created a free chapter opt-in download on ConvertKit. I learned how to do, you know, how do I do a transaction? How do I deliver the thing? And it was good. Like my launch goal was to pay for a quarter of my son's tuition by myself, like with no help from my family or anything like that. So I reached my launch goal of $600. And that was my first big success. And then I was like, well, now I'm out of friends to sell this. I have exhausted my Facebook friends list, you know, at $5 a book too. It's like, it's going to take a while for me to pay for the next quarter. And so in the beginning of the following year, beginning of 2017, I posted in a group that I was like, hey, I think I want to get my feet wet with client work. I'm new to client work. but I'm not new to the industry. Here are some things that I've done before. And then, you know, I referenced the website that I did. I referenced some Teachable things that I was playing with in the process of like writing a book. I played with Teachable for a while. I referenced the graphics that I made, some copy that I read. I just read it. Like, here's my skill set. I worked with ConvertKit and Squarespace and here. And well, I was really lucky. That was the start. I started as a VA. And then from there, I kind of, as it does on the internet, it just kind of morphs and morphs and morphs. I leaned more into the stuff that I liked and was good at and away from the stuff that I wasn't.
Okay, real quick. You were not lucky. You put yourself out there in a space where you didn't know how things were going to be received. And you did it in a way that was clear enough that people were like, oh, obviously I'm going to hire her. And you'd obviously built some trust up in that group for that to be possible. So like, don't sell yourself short there.
But I did. Like in the course of, you know, the whole book writing, making journey, I was super, super active in the group. And I had nothing to sell. So all I was able to do was give, I guess. So that's where I met Lydia, that group. So I was, you know, anything that I had learned 5 seconds earlier, I was helping somebody out in the comments of some other posts that I saw. Yeah. And that post, my first big client, my first quit my job client was a referral from somebody who saw that post. So that client didn't see the post. She's in the group. She runs the group, but she didn't see the post. But she was asking in her circles, hey, do you know anybody? And somebody was like, I think Mickley's doing that. And she knew who Mickley was. That person who referred me knew who Mickley was, even though I hadn't worked with either of them before. So I was like, wow. I mean, I didn't know the dots looking forward, but I'm glad they connected looking backward. Like, ah.
Right. Well, and I think that speaks so much to just being like, first of all, being willing to put yourself out there, but also right place, right time. You never know. Mm-hmm. When it's going to land and when the right person is going to see it. Because that's actually like with both of my larger clients right now, it was not a direct referral. Like I did not personally know the person who would end up becoming the client. Like I had met somebody else in a Facebook group back in like 2017. And that turned into a referral for last year. And I feel like that just like speaks to the testament. Like, yes, sometimes like referrals can be slow, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to be lucrative down the road.
For sure. I quit my job. I was able to quit my job and I haven't gone back to an office since. So that first referral, that's it. Here I am.
I love that. Oh my God. Okay. So obviously, so you started as a VA and then over time, I mean, you are like, I tell people that you've made me like the Mercedes of automations. Like every time I'm talking about it, I was like, no. You don't understand what Mickley made me though. It's so hot, you guys. Like, so you really are, I mean, the best I've ever met at tech and automation work like this. So what do you wish you knew back then, given what you're doing now and the specificity of it?
What do I wish I knew back then? I mean, maybe it was more of, I wish I wasn't so, I mean, still until now, so shy and afraid and tentative. I think maybe it's that. Like the knowledge that I learned, I'm happy in the way that I learned it. Like I learned it through doing. I learned it from clients who took a chance on me, on clients who stretched me and it's like, you know, who were like, it's okay that you don't know how to do this. I'm sure you'll figure it out. I guess it was more of because I was so new and because I was so, I always felt like I didn't know what I was doing and it showed. And sometimes I knew what I was doing and maybe I could just tell plastically, it's okay. You don't have to be so shy. You can take up some space. Because you know more than you think you do. I think it's that. And you, as a 30-something to a 20-something, it just takes so much less energy to not care so much about how you're going to be perceived.
Oh my God, for real. That's incredible. So I want to jump back real quick. Okay, so you mentioned Hillary. So I haven't had Hillary on yet, but she's going to be a part of this season one way or another. I will find you, Presswood. But what happened when you met Hillary in your business?
I was at a point where I was working with clients. And so I was a VA. I became a project manager. I was an OBM. But it was like my hands were on the entire business. I was their right hands. I knew at like the back of my hand, they wouldn't know their business as well as I knew their business. That was the thing. But I was like, I'm always behind the scenes. I was always on retainer too. So I was just kind of just hiding back there. If I wanted to step out as what? I didn't know what my thing was. And that's what I reached out to Hillary for. Like, help me figure out my thing. And that was, she was able to pull from me. He's like, I think you like the tech. I do like the tech. What if it was the tech? What if it was the tech? And kind of from there, since I doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on tech and automations, I've just been able to go both deeper and wider. And I didn't realize there was so much of this world to enjoy. And it's been 4 years since that first coaching session with Hillary. And it's
working.
It's working. Thanks, Hillary. It's working.
That's awesome. Okay. So these days, where are your clients coming from?
These days, referrals. Last year was a particularly hard year. There was some like illness in the family and money things. It was a weird year. And I was on survival mode. I was doing the most for the least. The little clients that I did have took all of my energy because I still wanted to show up for them, you know, all that my clients and my family. And there wasn't room for much else. And my marketing was this was when Dusty told me to stop apologizing for not being able to show up, to show up when you can and where you can and not to apologize for it. That was last year. And I took that to heart. And I was just, it was those referrals that kind of kept our family afloat. Like, we're here, I'm here, I'm talking to you today. Those referrals kept us fed and clothed and housed. I didn't have the energy to market, but I was like, I spent the past few years building up the goodwill, having ties with the community. And maybe this time when I am not able to hold myself up by myself, that's when I was able to lean on friends and network and people.
So, I mean, there's so many good things there that I'm hearing. Like, one, that even though you work fully online and in the Philippines, like, I mean, you're one of the only folks I know who was actually like from another country and has managed to operate at this particular level and like not only subvert the whole narrative around VAs in other countries and underpaying them and all of that, but you've done it in a way where you really have created something that's like, it's bigger than you now, right? Like, it's like, you get to be like part of this like larger thing that can't sustain your family.
It's really, it's good. It's great. I think we've gotten to a good place. And that, to go back to what you said about subverting the thing about VAs, that's its own podcast episode, I think. It was a tide I both swam against and ignored for some reason. Like, I would still get hit, but you're in the Philippines. Why are you charging so much? Why does the landing page cost so much? You're just copy-pasting. Stop. But in the very, very beginning of my career, like that Facebook post, the first one that I said like, hey, what if this was my rate? Because here in the Philippines, that's going to mean a lot to me. And somebody DM'd me. She's like, one, raise your rate by at least $5 to $10. I might be shooting myself in the foot, but raise it. Okay, you charge for the problems you can solve, not for your location. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm so grateful that that came in so early in my journey, because since then, I took it to heart. I have screenshots of our conversation, and I have not charged for my location since. And since was, you know, since day zero. Yeah, so it was really good. So I've been kind of ignoring that and acting as if, not as if I didn't live here, because I do live here and I don't hide it, but that it doesn't matter. It doesn't factor into my pricing because it doesn't. Right.
Well, and it shouldn't. Like, there is reason that it should, because let me tell you, as someone who's worked with a fair number of stateside VAs, I never, ever, ever regret the money that I spend with you.
I'm glad to hear. But yeah, I guess it's that. And then in its own way, sticking up for, being aghast at, like, I don't always have the words at how Filipino VAs are being treated. But anybody that I kind of can hit within my circle, if anybody's being hit with these $2 rates, like, stop, no, don't take a client. Anybody I can pass along that conversation to, I will. It's like, nah, it's yeah.
Okay. So switching gears a little bit. if you had to start from scratch today, how would you start your business? How would you get those first 10 clients?
Good question. How scratch am I scratching? Do I know anybody?
Let's say you still have your network and your skill set.
I had my network and my skill set and I was starting from scratch. I would email. I would find the best fit. I would figure out, okay, here's what I can do reasonably well and chargeable for. Find 10 people from my network and ask them if they need anything or know somebody who might. And I think sometimes they wouldn't, but just floating myself back up the top of mind, I guess that's how I do it. From zero, yeah, I have the babiest of social media reaches, but my friends don't.
Amen.
Yeah, I guess this is also something that Hillary would tell me. Just do send the follow-up. Just send the email is something that I would avoid all the time. I didn't want to do it. But that's what I would do if I had to. I would knock, knock. Do you know anybody?
Hello, I'm here. I would like to fix your tech. I'm pretty. Give me money.
Anything you want to fix, improve, or create?
So good. So how can great systems and tech make a small business a referral magnet?
Okay. One thing that I like to say is that a really good system is an extension of your imagination and your care. So I like to think of it as like, I think we get into this business because we care a lot. I don't think I've met yet a business owner who doesn't care about their customers and who doesn't care about their clients. And we're all human. And it's just kind of a lot of things to have in our hands and to have in our heads. A lot of people who come to me, like when they ask for help, I think it's when their brains are full. Whether they know it or not, sometimes their brains are full and they don't realize that like kind of every interaction opens 20 new tabs in their brain. And it just kind of feels normal until Google Chrome starts to lag or crash. And so this system is, I think for me, when we have our conversation and it's so important to me that I understand how you operate and how your brain operates and how you take care of your clients and how you want them held, because then that gets translated into the tech where your clients feel seen, held, heard, and valued, I think, in the same way. And now so are you. You are not bearing the brunt, but you're able to take care of them without fun taking care of you, which means yes, you can take care of them extra.
Yes. No, I think that's perfect, Migley, honestly, because that's really what it felt like you did for me. Because I remember when I came to you, I was just like, I had just gone through a huge restructuring of my business. I went from an agency model to a consultant model. And so obviously all of my systems, all of my everything, I was basically starting from scratch and I knew that. And I'm pretty technical for a marketer. Like I knew that I could set up everything that I wanted and I knew how to do it. But it had been like 6 months since I'd let everybody on my team go and it still wasn't done. And that's when I called you because I was like, Migley, I want to just tell you everything that's in my brain and then I want you to turn it into tech that works. And you did. Like, I just like, it's so hard to find like somebody who is like a good, like ongoing tech match. Like I finally, like I've been through like the ringer with VAs over the past couple of years. And like, and I just found somebody who like I'm so obsessed with and she's been working for another friend of mine for like 8 years. So like, she was just like perfect. Oh. But when we worked together though, it was such a different experience because it was nothing like working with a VA. It was like working with a strategist who could make lemonade out of the lemons that my brain was popping out at the time, because it was a lot of lemons, let me tell you. I mean, even more so than that, though, I would actually love to talk about just for a minute here, Lydia's systems. So Lydia Kitts has come on the podcast already. She's done my website. You've definitely seen her work attached to some of the humans here. So you and Lydia have known each other as long as you've been doing this. But yeah, Lydia's, her schedule has blown my mind since she told me it, because she has like 15 working hours a week. And like when she came to me back in like, I think it was early 2022 when we worked together, but that was like the first thing that she said to me was like, oh man, I want to do more right now, but I have to get Migley in here first. Would you mind speaking to like some of the work you guys have done together to like make that really tight timeframe work?
Ooh, okay. So Lydia's was fun. Lydia's was almost all behind the scenes, like very Lydia focused tech instead of like customer focused tech. And we built her an auxiliary brain. Those were her words, like an auxiliary brain in ClickUp. And so we took all of her processes, and this is a Lydia thing. She has them all down to 5-minute increments. So, wow. So we took them all and we created almost like ClickUp templates for new projects. So that's one, ClickUp templates for new projects. And then we put things like, let me see if I can remember the build with Lydia. We made little tweaks to make it so that when she looked at ClickUp, she knew exactly what she had to do, where to get it, who it was for, and all of that. And she could find the tasks and sort them the way she wanted to see them. So tasks, for example, had a due date and a due date. So D-O and D-U-E. I need this done by Friday, but I have to start working on this starting Tuesday. They've been categorized into energy levels 1, 2, and 3 so that Lydia can choose, do we knock out the low energy ones now? Do we, okay, this is like a level 3 kind of day. So this is all that I'm doing. And then I also asked Lydia, I am transferring these tasks to ClickUp based on the document you gave me, and I'm copying the time estimates over. How is this going to make you faster? Like, this is the same amount of time, right? It's just like, because I'm not looking for anything anymore. Everything is linked. I'm not trying to figure out how do I set, what was the document for this again? What was the template for this again? No, it's included. The SOP is in the task. So if I wanted to delegate it to someone, all I had to do is reassign it on ClickUp because that particular task has instructions built in on how to do the task. And so I also set her up like with a workload view because she was so tight on those 3 hours a day so that she could see when she was approaching her limit, because she said she had a knack for quadruple booking people. It's just like, no, I'm overworked. So she knows like, okay, I'm green here, but I'm yellow over here. So I can take one more client here as long as it doesn't extend into here, like that sort of thing. Yeah. And then we made some things automatic. So if Lydia didn't have to do them, let's say let's not do it. So when a client schedules a call, their strategy call for Tuesday, all of the tasks move. So after the strategy call, Lydia does the stuff, then let the project move forward or back, depending on when the call is. The client's feedback is due in 14 days, but client gave it back in 3. Okay, the project moves. And so that sort of stuff, the dynamic version of it also, I guess, is just kind of what allowed Lydia to sit at her desk, open up today's to-do list and be like, here are the things I'm knocking out today. Done.
God, thank you so much for that. Like, it's so hard to like fully appreciate these kinds of systems and the level of care and personalization that goes into it until you like hear all of the specifics like this. Because I mean, I remember the thing that Lydia had told me was that like she ended up waiting like for ages for people to turn in all of their pre-work. And that was one of the things where I was like, girl, that project does not start until bitch gets you all the shit. Like, and that was one of those things where, and it's so funny because like, I was actually the bad client this fall because I would like, I had a minor existential crisis about my copy, which I know there are people listening who will understand exactly what I'm talking about. I ended up making almost 0 changes, by the way. I wrote a new about page and that was it. And then I gave the rest to her. But like, just the idea that like, she didn't have to be waiting on them for everything. And it's similar to like when you were operating as the OBM, as the right-hand person, like you just end up in such a state of reactivity in your business. And that's when all that resentment starts to build up, I feel like.
Yeah. Waiting to be told versus being in charge of, here's what I'm doing today. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So last question, what makes a business referral worthy to you, Mickley?
Oh my goodness. Good question. I think I would refer somebody out to you if I could trust that they would take care of you the same way I would take care of you. Like if I know you're in good, I'm not going to refer somebody out if I'm not sure what's going to happen when I do. So I want to know that they'll care for you the same way I care for you. And then they're going to do the work that they're going to do is work that I can vouch for. I think for me, it's that. And that they're a genuinely nice person. Like, I won't refer you a meanie.
I won't refer a meanie. I am obsessed with that.
He is a gem who does amazing work, and you will love each other. That's how I look at it. That's who I would refer. Those would be businesses to me who are referral worthy, I think.
Oh, Mickley, thank you so much for coming on today. If folks want to learn more about working with you, where can they go find you?
My website is over at heymickley.com and my Instagram is the same, heymickley.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Is your business referral worthy? Take the quiz at thereinvention.co/quiz to find out and get specific, actionable tips to take your business from best kept secret to book solid. Thanks for listening to Referral Worthy. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.